My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, for those of you just maybe tuning in for the first time today, Trent Williams is a holdout. He did not show up to camp. He did not report. And it was the lead story of the day, Kyle Shanahan addressing it today. Before anybody even asked any questions.
I think you guys noticed Trent wasn't out there today, so just before you have to ask, guys, he didn't report. It's contract related. John's speaking with his representatives, been doing it for a while. He'll continue to go, and when they work it out, I'll be pumped to see him.
Okay. And he did go on to say, not concerned at this point, no big deal if Trent misses a few practices. Then again, you know, like, that's sort of the tone that they struck with Nick Bosa last year, and he missed all the practices.
Right, but that was more of a, much bigger deal. That was where he needed the big, big bag, and Trent just needs a little bit more cash up front to make him feel better about, you know, where he's going into a year where not all his money's guaranteed.
What we were talking about a minute ago, to me, is the thing that, where I both have the most compassion and the most concern with regard to Brandon Ayuk. And so let us play this for you one more time, and then we can kind of jump into it. Kyle Shanahan on the TK show talking about the risk of waiting until free agency as an NFL player.
We all try to get contracts as coaches too. Do you want to go into, when you're a free agent as a coach, you can make more money that way? Why don't everyone do that? Well, what if your quarterback gets hurt in the first game and three other people, and you think you were going to go to the Super Bowl, but now you're 4-12, you got a second pick in the draft? What does that mean? Man, I don't need to go through that. I'm happy with what's on the table. And it is the same situation for players, but man, I think it's a lot more risky. Do you want to do this? Or do you want to go play through a violent season? If you do, and you are a free agent, oh yeah, you are going to get that. That's how free agency works. But man, free agency is tough to get to. I think it's scary for a player because of the physicality of the sport, and that they don't just miss a year, they could end their career. Or a coach, you could recover from a bad season because you can coach till you're 60 or whatever. But those are the things that we got to go through. I think people in the outside world got to go through to a degree, but ours is kind of a little bit in front of everyone, and people don't always want to hear about it because people love the team. Fans, the players, we all want to come back to our team. But this stuff is real stuff that you got to deal with. And if you just want to be Johnny coach on the spot who's like, just worry about the team. Yeah, that's what I care about. But I also understand the individual. And usually guys know know me well enough to know that too. And when they know they're not, no one's trying to screw them, we're trying to run a football business, then I think your relationship's going
to
survive.
To me, this is what's so terrifying. And you can be right and be wrong at the exact same time, I think. Brandon can absolutely be right. That, like, okay, look over here, and receiver X is getting $28 million. Call it Jalen Waddle if you want. Jalen Waddle's getting $28 million. I'm better than Jalen Waddle. I want 30. All right, you can be right, but when the 49ers say no deal, that doesn't fit with what we're doing, here's how I do think you run the risk of being wrong. And this is what I'm scared for Brandon Ayuk to do. You know, like, I don't know what the Niners are actually offering Brandon Ayuk. Have offered, were offering, I have no idea. But let's go on that premise that all of us have used, that $26 million a year was on the table, and there's some sort of guaranteed number in there. Let's call it $40 million, right? So $26 million a year for 4 years with a guarantee of $40 million. Let's say that's on the table. And Brandon's like, that's offensive. And I'm like, I get it. I get why you're offended by that. But what are you going to do? So you're telling me that as someone who has made a total of $12 million in his life, you are now going to say no to that. You're going to say no to the $104 million offer with $40 million of it guaranteed.
Yeah, $40 million, yeah.
You're going to say no basically to someone saying, how about if we take care of money for the rest of your life?
That's $40 million.
I'd argue that's enough. I would argue that's enough.
Right.
That takes care of the rest of your life, does it not?
It does. It should.
It should.
I mean, we saw that documentary many years ago. Where...
Broke.
Thank you, broke.
Yeah, you can make bad decisions, but
three-quarters of the players, $40 million is not enough, but it should be...
It should be.
...enough. Or, if you're Brandon and you say, well, you know what? I'm worth more than that, so no thank you. Mm-hmm. Pay me $14 this year, guaranteed, and I'll go out and I'll ball out. And then at the end of this year, you can franchise me, and then you'll pay me $26 on the tag, which that right there is $40 million for 2 years. Yep. There's my 40. Instead of 40 for four or 40 for five, I'm getting that 40 now and next year. And if you don't want to franchise me and you want to let me go, well, if I ball out this year, then I'm going to go out there and get 55 guaranteed on top of the 14 that I have now. That's 69, which is better than 40.
Right. Or I could tear my Achilles on the second play of the year.
Sure. Or running onto the field in the Super Bowl. It's all possible.
And
yeah.
Then what? And
it's a bet.
That's
it's a risk.
Right. And I sometimes I think, because especially football players, remember the human beings we're dealing with here. These people are narrative busters.
They're bananas.
They're absolute crazy people. And they have gone against the odds their whole lives. They've made it. They're in the NFL. They're the 1% of the 1%. They're absolutely insane. And I mean that in a good and a bad or a whatever way. Like, it's incredible what you achieved. You are an unbelievable athlete, but you're also a maniac. Like, I can't believe that you're able to go out there and not vomit. Like, you can run across the middle and catch a ball without looking. Holy crap. So you can do all that and now take that same human being to the negotiating table. And that human being's going to be like, bleep you. I'll go across the middle again. Okay. I find that to be, and this is just the way that I've lived my life, and so maybe I've left some bucks on the table or whatever, but dude, that's a hell of a risk.
It's risky, and it makes me think about Roy McAvoy in Tin Cup.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you just lay up, and it's a golf movie, and if he just, you know, lays up and he makes par, he may not win the U.S. Open, but he makes it, and he's a pro, and he gets a huge check, and he's got clearance for the rest of his career. Or you go for the green and two. And that's kind of what Brandon Ayuk is doing. It's a par five, and there's water, and if you hit a good shot, if you have a good year, and you do what you did last year, you stay healthy, you are number two in yards per catch and all the rest of it, the yak yards and a winning team and catches and all the rest of it, yeah, you're going to make more money than you could right now, but... The downside is you hit that second shot in the water and now you don't make birdie, you don't make par, and then you try it again, and maybe you end up chasing it. So it's risk reward, and you can't tell any individual how to go about it. I'm much more wired like you, and now that I'm a bit of an older guy, I don't think about things in terms of the same risk-reward as I used to, but Ayuk is 26, and you're looking at that first real bite of the apple, and you want to get that. You want to get it now, and I understand it.
Totally. I get it. And obviously, ego and respect factor into all of these things, and those may or may not be unavoidable and also part of the seven deadly sins or whatever. You know what I mean? Is ego one of them? I can't even remember the movie Seven with Kevin Spacey and all that.
Yeah, I don't think ego is one of them.
Was ego one of them?
No.
Pride.
Gluttony.
Yeah, I mean, they're all attached.
Yep.
So, like, ay-ay-ay, but I get it. I totally get it. And that's why I say it's where I have my most compassion for him, but also my most fear. And so, yeah, like, I don't know, man. He ended up in a spot. He ended up in a spot. But the news of today, I would argue, and that is Trent Williams is holding out. And even though we don't know this to be true, a lot of us are acting like, well, that's going to be over in 4 seconds because the Niners will totally do what Trent needs to make it happen. And you may be right. If I'm Brandon Ayuk, I'm doing everything I can to block out anything that happened with McCaffrey, anything that happens with Trent Williams, anything that may happen, quite frankly, with Brock Purdy 7 months from now. I don't find those. I know this is easy for me to say. I don't find those situations to be relevant in the Brandon Ayuk story. I find Debo's contract, the drafting of Ricky Pearsall, and the contracts the other receivers have signed, those are relevant factors. Trent Williams not showing up today is not something I'm going to concern myself with.
No, and you never want to count your teammates' pockets, but they're all negative factors in what you're trying to do. And it was the other contracts from wide receivers, and TJ Houshmandzadeh, Brandon's own personal coach, said the exact same thing when I asked him about, you know, the market and if that would have changed Brandon Ayuk's thinking and all that. And he gave me a bingo and he gave me a tic-tac-toe. And I think he gave me a Connect Four as well.
Connect Four.
He gave me a lot of things on that because it has changed. And so, yeah, the market moved and the Niners didn't move and Brandon wanted them to move and they didn't. And so, yeah, the Trent Williams and the Christian McCaffrey, none of those things are really that directly involved with his money, but his money is still not being paid like he wants it. So you can block out everything you want to block out, but the bottom line for Ayuk is when he eventually does show up to practice, he's still making 14.1,
yeah,
and he feels like he should be making 26.
Yeah, well,
or 28.
He's not going to make 26 this year no matter what happens. He's going to make 14.1. Like,
no, but he would have at least 40, 45, 50 guaranteed.
Correct.
Like, you're going to get that.
Yep.
And right now he's got 14.1 guaranteed. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean, look.
That's it. And I say that's it. I mean, you got to always remind ourselves of, you know.
I know. And even 12 over the last right. 4 years is checks notes, a good salary.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. I think Brandon has a bank account. I don't know that. I'm not.
I would hope.
I'm not Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. I have no idea what's going on in anybody else's bank account. But I would imagine that he's got money. I would think. And he's probably feeling even maybe a little bit empowered by that. You know, like he's got money in the bank. So wonderful. That's all great. But the larger situation when I look at it from a whole team perspective of camp opening today is this. This in many ways was my only worry about 49er football this year, and I do find it to be different than last year. You know, we talk about the differences from last year to this year because either way, what are we talking about? We're talking about a team that was favored to win all of its games last year and is favored to win all of its games this year. Okay, so Chiefs me all you want, but everybody thinks the Niners are the best team. They were favored against them in the Super Bowl. They're favored against them in Week 7 this year. They're favored against them, favored against them, favored against them. Y'all think the Niners are the best team. Okay, so what's different this year? Number one, you know your quarterback is healthy. That's a good thing. But number two is a very bad thing, and that is money. Like, the 49ers this year feel much more like a rock band that's been around for 22 years than they did last year. And rock bands break up. They usually break up before they get into their age 40s and 50s and 60s. And the reason they do is because life has changed. You're not a garage band anymore that's trying to, like, see if we can get a label. No, you're like the damn dudes now. Every hotel is packed. Every set of DMs is there and dirty and offered, and the whole world is your oyster, and all of you are bigger stars than you were a year ago. A bunch of these guys, even the guys who were already stars, you're bigger stars now. This team is a huge deal, and every single one of them wants their piece of that pie. And I have a very hard time believing that that's not going to be inside the locker room this year. I don't think it'll be like outward. I don't think dudes are going to be talking to each other in the locker room like, hey, what you get paid? Like, they're not going to do that. But it's going to spill in other ways. You remember when I asked TJ yesterday, how does the Niner wide receiver room work? How do you avoid jealousy? Debo has been paid. Brandon wants to be paid. Ricky has been drafted to be Brandon's replacement. And then there's a bunch of other dudes in there, too, trying to scratch and claw and get a piece. And Juwan Jennings is over here. He may or may not have said something on Instagram about Brandon. Like, that feels very complicated. And TJ didn't run from that. He's like, I don't know how it's going to go. We got to see how they handle it. That has been and continues to be my number one concern for 49er football this year, is all of that external pressure, money being a very big part of it.
And it's reared its head today because Trent Williams has not shown up because he wants more money. And he's got, you know, a couple years left in his deal, and he's got no guaranteed money left. And so you're Trent, and you're thinking, I want guaranteed money. And that's the good thing about the Niners, is that Jed York can go into his coffers. He can go into that bottom drawer in the petty cash, and he can give Trent Williams cash and restructure the deal and give him cash up front and make, you know, whatever money they still owe him, they can make it still not guaranteed, but they can spread that out over multiple years, and you can prorate the signing bonus and all the rest of it. You could rework Trent Williams's deal, which is going to be what happens. But still, if you're Brandon Ayuk and you want what you think you have coming to you, and you see McCaffrey get a restructure and Trent gets a restructure and all these other guys are getting the money that they want, and the owner's already come out and said, oh yeah, Brock gets whatever Brock wants. We love Brock, and he's an elite quarterback, and you know, whatever the market dictates, Brock's going to get it. And you're Brandon, and you're sitting here thinking, I don't even want Justin Jefferson money. I don't even necessarily want Amon-Ra. I want the money that is market effective to what I've done already, and you don't want to give me that?
Well, I don't know what he wants. You know what I mean? Like, we act like we know what he wants. He wants what? Top seven receiver money, maybe? Does he want 30?
He wants more than what they're offering
him. Yeah, right.
I think we can say that.
But check this out. This is another piece from TK Show that I thought was relevant to today. Listen to Kyle Shanahan sort of talk about players and paying players, similar to the way that you walk through Target with a shopping cart and decide whether or not you want to buy an item based on what it costs. Listen to this.
I've heard the narrative that, you know, that we're ignoring the O-line stuff and everything. And if we felt the O-lineman was the best pick there, there's no doubt that's who we'd take. But there's some O-linemen there at the end of the first round that you feel they have just as good of a chance as a guy at the end of the second round. One's a higher prospect and may, might have a higher ceiling, but I'm too concerned about the ceiling. I want to know if he's going to be a starting left tackle, a starting left guard, whatever, starting NFL player. And if you are a starting NFL lineman, I think we can have a good team with you. Now, if we have a bunch of starting NFL linemen, there's no one who can score points, we're not going to have that good of an offense. It's weird to me that, you know, going into, I've never been on a team that was favored to win every game the whole year before the season started. And we've been that 2 years in a row. So what that tells me is people think we got a really good roster. Well, if we were drafted in only O linemen, we wouldn't have as good of a roster. And one of the biggest things that drives me crazy throughout my whole career is being at places that just draft O linemen in the first and second round because no one can really talk about whether they're big busts or not. Because you can be in a top 10 pick at O line and be very average, and you'll play for your 5 years and it won't look like a bust. Do that at a different position. You got to move on. You got to move into backup. And that doesn't always look good. We don't really think in that way. We don't have a philosophy to avoid O-linemen. We just don't have a philosophy that says we're always going to build inside out, because you got to establish that for the run game. And look at our run game everywhere. Look at our run game in Washington. I mean, we drafted Trent Williams. We had the fourth pick in the draft, and we thought he was worth it. We took him. Our left guard was cut from Denver. Our center was a practice squad player. Our right guard was a free agent that we got from Baltimore. And our right tackle, we got off the street. And then our running back was a sixth-round pick. And we rushed for more yards than the Hogs ever did, or John Riggins, and all those big-time Hall of Fame people. And that's, I hear you. I would love all those people. Like, we want O-linemen. Don't get me wrong. But you don't just get to pick whoever you want. And that's why I always go back to, and we have been favored in every game for 2 years in a row. Our roster's damn good. I wish also it looked like we'd invested all the same in O-line. And then I feel like people wanted to ask that question. But I bet we wouldn't be favored in 20 or 34 straight games in a row.
Okay, so he's talking about the offensive line, but tucked in there is, I think, a couple of things. Number one, when people say, gosh, Kyle Shanahan is so damn arrogant, he doesn't care who the players are. He thinks that he can just call his plays and whoever's out there is supposed to execute him. Yeah, he probably does think that a little bit. I think that is what he's saying right there. He didn't,
totally.
He didn't ask for a star player at every position. He's asking for a starter. I'd like a starter, like a starting level player at that position. Okay, what does a starting level player at that position cost? So let's project from that answer that he's doing that at the wide receiver position. What does it cost to get me two starting wide receivers who are really going to be effective with what we do? And I bet the Niners have answered that and said, less than $55 million.
Exactly. Less than $55 million. And you've got Debo on the hook now for 28. And if Brennan wants 26 or 27, then there you go. That's $55 million. And you look at the offensive line, and yeah, they drafted Trent Williams in Washington, and now you have him here, and you got Aaron Banks, a second rounder, and Jake Brendel, who is somebody you picked up along the way, and John Feliciano, who was basically a street free agent, and you brought him in, and Colton McKivitz was a fifth rounder. So you look at the way that they go about constructing their O-line, and I think that he looks at it in entirely in that same way, where you want to find guys at a certain value, and I don't think that there's value in two receivers making $55 million.
No, I loved his real estate comp. I bet there are Niner fans cruising around the bay right now going, there's no way in hell I'd give Brock Purdy $53 million. But you spent $5 million on a four-bedroom.
Sure, because that's the value. I mean, that's what the market
bears.
That's
what it goes for.
That's exactly right.
What do you want to do about it? Now, I know that you can't resell your quarterback, although you kind of can. You could turn it into a first-round draft pick if you want.
Sure.
But that's, I mean, how often in life in 2024 have we had to do that? All the way down to the grocery store or a nice dinner out with your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, that's what it costs?
Everything.
Yeah, I guess it does. So, okay.
Either you pay it or you don't get it, right?
Yeah.
You want a really good quarterback, but you don't want to pay the market value for a really good quarterback. Well, then you better draft a guy and hope that he, you know, hits like he has. And, you know, ask Green Bay how they feel about that, because they had a really good quarterback on a rookie deal, and now he's about to get paid big time, and that's going to change the way they go about things next year.
No doubt. No doubt. Is there any news on that today? Any movement from Jordan Love and the Packers? I heard some rumblings about it earlier, but yeah, I guess
we'll keep our eyes on it.
That is still gone nowhere. But Trent Williams, oh no. Like the Packers quarterback is not practicing.
And the Cowboys wide receiver one. So, I mean, this happens all across the
league. They're going to get it figured out. The Brandon one is really, really spicy, though. It's a tough spot for both sides. It's a tough spot.
Yeah, it's tougher for Brandon because it may be one of those things where you just gotta, as you like to say in your drop, I'm gonna eat it. He may have to just eat it, because if they haven't had any real talks in 2 months, and that's what the report was yesterday, then maybe there won't be talks between now and September. And so you're under contract for $14 million, and you may have to just play on your fifth-year option, and then go from there and deal with it.
I might have referenced the housing analogy, which is actually in a different sound clip. This is the quarterback market one that is a continuation of what he was saying here about the O-line. Check it out.
I mean, I think because of where the market's gone with the quarterback position, it's just the dollars. I guess that's kind of crazy. Those numbers, it's kind of like when I look at the real estate out here and how much houses cost, I didn't believe it at first because it's just there's so much. And then when you get out here and you, as long as it's, you can resell it and stuff, it's all relative. So it's whatever, but the numbers overwhelm you. So I get all that. But me, as a coaching standpoint, I think about, obviously, how you fit into a salary cap, where it is going, but I don't get caught up on how much money that is. I get caught up on, well, that's how much a starting quarterback costs within the realm of it. I mean, but this is the market on how much a starting quarterback costs. This is how much a starting receiver costs. This is how much a starting tackle costs. This is how much a starting defensive end costs. And you start to see all that, and how do you want to balance out your team? What are the choices you get? And that's what you got to figure out. But are you happy with someone as your starting quarterback? If you are you happy with him as a rookie? Are you happy on a rookie contract? Great. Are you happy with him when you got to pay him? Well, how do you compare him to everyone else? He's a starting quarterback in this league. Well, what does that cost? And then you look at it, and that's kind of where I keep it. I don't try to say that's so much more than it used to be. I try to look at it as that's just the market. Now you got to figure it from an organizational standpoint, the cash, all that stuff, which is a huge deal. And that's why I listen to those conversations. I get involved in those conversations, but I also know that is not my area of expertise.
Speak on it, Kyle. You ever tried to get one of those big things of orange juice now at the grocery store? You ever get, like, the big ones?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you got a family and they like smoothies? Why? It's $9.50.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Not have smoothies?
Plant your own orange tree.
I'm with you, Kyle. It stinks. But it is all relative. We're sponsored by Lucky California. And we're going to take some of your phone calls next. Plus, I got good news. I could tell you how a Trent Williams deal will help Brandon Ayuk. That is coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm not insulting Brockford, but...
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Did Aqib Talib insult Brock Purdy while trying to compliment Brandon Ayuk? Only you can make the call.
Yeah.
We'll play that for you here in just a skosh.
I look forward to it. And I also want to ask Aqib Talib if chain snatching is something that needs to come back into vogue in the NFL. Because when he snatched Michael Crabtree's chain...
That's right.
That was kind of a unique moment. And
I forgot about that.
I mean, since then, it feels like chain snatching has really fallen out of vogue.
Well, now,
and I wonder why.
Now you get like an entire like turnover jewelry box, and you get to run around the sideline and hold a trophy and put it on your head, or I don't know what you do. It's kind of like you get a turnover now... It's kind of like the end of a kid's soccer game. The parents come over and make a tunnel for you, and you run through it, and then there's snacks and all kinds. I mean, there's just everything goes crazy over on the sideline
and
now.
And we learned in the receiver's doc when Devonta Adams lost his chain, and he threw it over to the guy on the sideline, and then at the next change of possession, the guy came over and said, hey, you want your chain back? He's no, I'm good. I don't need to put it back on.
You must be ahead of me. You
or was that Justin Jefferson? Jefferson lost his chain, not Devontae. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because Jefferson had like multiple chains and he lost one. And then, you know, somebody, he found it and he threw it over to the guy on the sideline.
I had to pause my consumption of the receiver doc because the lovely Christy and I are going on vacation next week.
Yeah, you
and
are.
And I've talked about it so much that she's like, you know, I'd like to watch the receiver doc. Maybe you could stop watching all the episodes. We could watch it together on the trip next week. And I said, that's fair negotiation. We're done here. I agree to your terms.
Okay.
And so that's happening.
That's great. If she's interested in it, then by all means,
and so's my daughter. And so's my daughter. That's why we've been watching it a lot at home. She wants to watch it too.
Great.
She was very upset that we had Fred Warner on the show and that I would see Fred Warner in person today. She wanted me to ask about his baby, Bo. She knows the baby's name. She is that in to Fred Warner.
Okay.
Dad, say hi to Fred for me. I said, it doesn't really work that way, but...
I will.
But you got it, hon.
For you, honey.
I'll say hi to Fred for you today at practice.
And I do look forward to next year and the linebacker doc on Netflix. Yeah. I asked Fred about that, and he said, yeah, I'd be into it. It'd be nice to have them do something on the other side of the ball.
It'd be great. It'd be great.
Yeah, like because the linebacker is the captain of the defense.
What would you put on it?
For sure, Fred.
Give me the five linebackers. Would Dre be one, too, and you follow him through his rehab?
I don't know. I mean, that's a little bit tougher, but I mean, Dre's a great personality.
Yep.
I'd like to hear from Roquan Smith, a guy who does a lot as a linebacker. He's kind of a multifaceted linebacker, somebody who can make plays in the run game and the
Roquan
pass game.
Roquan Smith, I got it.
He'd be a good one. I think you could highlight, but I do think that the linebacker part of it would be fascinating because you get kind of the defensive huddle and you get the green dot look at it because most of these guys are the green dot wearers where they communicate upstairs and you can kind of get, I think, a better look at what goes on defensively with the linebacker.
The problem is, and this is why wide receivers are getting paid what they're getting paid, the problem is name value. Like you just mentioned a couple of them, and, and the second one I would argue is we're already pushing it.
Micah Parsons.
Not really a linebacker.
True,
you know,
he's an edge rusher, but he plays linebacker technically.
Like, I mean, if I just pulled up PFF's top linebackers in the NFL. You tell me if any of these names resonate in like the average Joe space. Because Fred Warner is number one and Roquan Smith is number two.
Okay, good.
Okay, then after that, DeMario Davis.
Meh.
Matt Milano.
Good play. I like the player. Yeah. I like the pick.
CJ Mosley.
I've heard of him.
Levante David.
Yeah.
Patrick Queen. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Good player.
TJ Edwards.
I'm getting your point.
Yeah, like, what are we doing here? Netflix
maybe
is like, what
like,
else you got?
Well, maybe we do, like, defenders. And you do...
I like that.
TJ Watt. And you do, because TJ...
Micah Parsons would be fantastic.
Exactly. So you find defensive players who, and certainly cornerbacks, great corners with, like, Mooney Ward would be a great...
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, Sauce with the Jets. Give me the Sauce.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. Defenders.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
All right. I'm in.
And I think Fred would be on the short list.
Absolutely.
His personality.
Well,
and
look at him.
Right.
Just look. I mean, that's the thing. It's a television character thing.
It is, but you also want people who are elite at their position.
No doubt.
You want personalities. You want elite. And you also want some off-field story. And now that he has a young son who I'm being told is named Bo. I think that kind of adds to it, because for me so far in the receivers doc, the Davante Adams dinosaur birthday party for his 4-year-old daughter, that's, to me, one of the highlights.
It's still...
Because it's so great, because none of the moms in Vegas... It's the other moms. Oh, my God.
It's the other moms.
What do you do? I like your house.
If I could bottle up the look on their face when they walk into their little girl Samantha's kindergarten friend lives here.
Exactly.
And they're just like, okay, what does dad do for a Hi, my name's Sandra. Hi.
What do you do?
I'm Devante. Oh, are you the dad? Oh, okay.
Do you have a Pilates studio? You're really fit.
What the hell?
Totally.
What's going on here? I can't figure it out. It's the best. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones in a second. I promised I'd say this, so it's a very quick and easy point, but understand that Trent Williams is holding out today. If I'm Brandon Ayuk, I want Trent Williams to get an extension. I want that. I want that badly, because if an extension happens similar to Christian McCaffrey, what happens with an NFL team is that you open up more cap space in the meantime, in the interim, in the near term. So every time you do that, yes, you're kicking the can down the road and you're going to have to pay the piper at some point, and maybe they don't want to do that, and maybe that's why it's gotten to this point where Trent's not here. But every time you extend a player, you are creating more in the near-term cap space, which is not a problem for this year. The 49ers could fit, they can fit a Brandon Ayuk situation into this year. They already are, and they still can. But it's next year that's the problem, and then the year after that with Brock, and the year after that. But in theory, every little bit helps, and they could save a lot of money on a year-by-year basis if they were to push out and guarantee more of Trent's money. So from X's and O's, like dollars and cents sort of a way, a Trent Williams extension would help Brandon Ayuk.
And I'm sure his agent, if he's worth a salt, has told him that. If Brandon's feeling some kind of way about the fact that Trent might be getting money before he gets money, but it, for me, becomes more about the optics and more about the emotion of, you know, I'm sitting here waiting for mine, and yet Christian jumps ahead of me, and Trent jumps ahead of me. And it's one thing if you're in the grocery line and you're Brandon Ayuk and you've got 74 things in your basket, and, you know, Christian walks up with a basket of 3 items, and you go ahead, and you wave him up. It's another thing if the checker just goes, hey, that person's only got 3 items, let them go in front of you. It's like, no, I let them go in front of me, not you. And it feels like everyone's cutting in front of him in line.
Yep, I get it. But it's not that. But
it's not, but, you know, the emotion of it.
Sure. Fred Warner, Micah Parsons, Max Crosby.
Good.
Sauce Gardner. Think about markets also. Go Dallas, you go Vegas, you go New York, you go San Francisco, and then I need one more. I need one more defender. Do you want T.J. Watt?
I like T.J. Watt.
You get the Steelers. You get the Watt family.
The whole Watt family, sure.
I thought about Nick and Joey. Yeah, do you want a Bosa?
But
we could go cooking with Mama.
I like that, but I had 7 eggs this morning. It's really good. My body fat's down to 5.9%.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
It just, from a personality standpoint, like Grandy with Sauce Gardner, you guys kind of had it at the same moment. Like, yeah. Get me Sauce.
Could take a camera with the Bosa family to a Trump rally. I mean, what? Am I not allowed to say that?
You're allowed to say whatever you want.
No, come on.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Get some
Cheryl Bosa.
I bet you could get some good video.
It'd be great. You know, you would appeal to 44% of the country with that take. It's great. It's tremendous.
All right, let's take a
call. Let's go. Damn call.
Let's go to Philmo Mike.
Didn't expect that.
Philmo, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm chilling, man.
I'm still bothered by, I don't know if y'all heard who yesterday, he was talking about colored people. I don't know where that came up. But then y'all start talking about Trump. So let me just get to my point.
Wait, who was saying that yesterday?
Trump. I mean, Steiny and Guru. I forgot what the conversation was, but they start talking about color. He was like, Guru's like, yeah, because I'm colored. I'm like, come on, Guru, you gonna call us colored?
I mean,
you gotta be better than that.
As long as he's talking about himself, he can say whatever he wants. But I feel you, Filmo. Go ahead.
True. That's true. Now, I just want to say this, man. Steiny, I don't even mean to bring up anything that anybody else said from any other show, but he had a point about they got to get this figured out with the training camps and all that. But really, it boils back to this. Stop jocking quarterbacks. If the quarterback is Michael Jordan, let him be Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes. But if the quarterback is just an average whoever, don't act like the quarterback is the end-all, be-all to Major League, NFL football, man. Like, we judging quarterbacks. So, like, I swear he has a point. Shannon has a point. Why are we paying these quarterbacks? Are you this type of quarterback? What type of quarterback are you? It's almost a mixture of the market and your ability and who's available. So, like, all that extra stuff, they need to figure that out. Well, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Okay, but Filmo, do you not agree that the quarterback is the straw that stirs the drink? Let's start there. Do you agree or disagree?
Not with every team, not with every situation.
Okay, and your opinion is fair what it is. Then I would argue what you're leaning toward, and you could sell me on this. If this gets to a certain point where the quarterback is taking up 40 to 50% of a team's cap, I don't think we'll necessarily get there. But do you just want to draft a new one every 4 years? You can do that.
No, I don't want to do that. But what I am saying is that quarterbacks are given more value than what they should be given. Meanwhile, Brandon Ayuk is expected to play on some type of $14 million deal when obviously he's worth more than $14 million.
Yeah, but Brock Purdy's playing for $900,000 this year, Filmo. Like, they're both on rookie deals.
Right, but he got 2 years left and he only got one, and we all know that gameplay.
I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. Brandon has already made more in 4 years. I mean, my God, Brock Purdy. You know, Brandon's made $12 million in 4 years. Brock Purdy has not yet gotten to three.
That's true. I mean, only thing I can say to that is, man, you got to pay people for what they're worth. Remember when the rookies was getting so much amount of money and they hadn't even played?
Yep.
It's sort of like the same thing with the quarterbacks. You can project a certain bit, but you got to look at the resume and understand, it's crazy because they all go back to the market. If it's only five good quarterbacks, you got to judge the rest of the 25, 27 other quarterbacks based on the five good ones. And if he's the sixth best quarterback, guess what? He's the sixth best quarterback. No matter what the other 24 quarterbacks have done, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of messed up, man. For real.
It is, but then you can also look at a team that has, like, the 12th best quarterback or the 14th best quarterback, like the Giants with Daniel Jones, and they realize, man, that either they pay him $40 million a year or they go out and try to find somebody better, or the Cowboys with Dak Prescott, or so many other examples where you don't have one of those elite guys and you figure out either we roll a dice and try to find somebody to replace him, or we overpay Kyler Murray and we hope that he can grow into being one of those top five guys.
No doubt. Teams get stuck in this. It's like, all right, you can't have Mahomes, you can't have Burrow, then what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to just dump your guy every 4 years and try again? Even though there are viable players there, and Brock Purdy is one of them, there are viable other quarterbacks who show or have shown that they can get it done in January in the NFL.
Like Jared Goff is a great example.
There's another example.
He's probably the between 8th and 13th best quarterback in the league.
That's fair.
And yet he's making top five money because he's a guy who has shown that he can get it done in the right situation.
Yeah, and Jordan Love, I'd argue, it has not really totally shown that. I know he won a playoff game in Dallas, but you know, he was, you could say, I guess, the better quarterback for the majority of the game against the 49ers. He wasn't in the fourth quarter. He threw two interceptions. So, like, what Filmo's saying, I totally feel it. I can't say I fully agree with it. I feel it. But let me ask you this, okay? Since we're talking so much about wide receivers, what makes more sense to you? What contributes to winning? What is a better buy? If I could argue that you will get top performance for your dollar, so forget the names or faces, but top performance for your dollar, would you rather spend $55 million on a top-level quarterback or $35 million on a top-level wide receiver?
It's quarterback, and it's not close.
I agree with you totally.
Because of the value over replacement player, VORP, which is a baseball stat, but it really fits, I think, for all sports, because if you're going to try to replace your quarterback, Brock Purdy, a guy who's top five in the MVP, 4-2 all-time in the playoffs, and really 4-1 if you, you know, want to look at his loss against Philadelphia, however you want to parse that out. He's a young quarterback who's done amazing things on a rookie deal, and he's going to get $55 million, but he's a real good quarterback. So, all right, you decide that, you know what, Brock, we're not going to pay you because we like this whole thing about a rookie deal. We're going to go out and draft another quarterback next year and try to find another rookie who can come in and do what you do. That is a lot riskier than...
Oh, God.
All right, Brandon Ayuk, I know you want $28 million or whatever you want, and we don't want to pay you. We're going to draft Ricky Pearsall, and maybe Pearsall's not going to be you right away, but he'll be a much better facsimile of you than what we could do at quarterback.
And Pearsall doesn't have to shoulder that all by himself. There are other receivers in camp. They drafted another receiver. They've got another draft next year where they can address wide receiver if they so choose. You know, they've got time to see what Ricky Pearsall can do out there. Is he indeed the replacement? You can go the free agency route and find a receiver who is cheaper than Brandon Ayuk if you want. You can use the franchise tag and replace Brandon Ayuk with Brandon Ayuk. If you want, like, there's all kinds of ways that you can play this if you're 49ers, rather than just being like, okay, we'll give you 30 because we think you're good, you know?
And the market says you deserve 30.
Yeah.
That's really the thing.
It's a bummer, but it's the way that the NFL team is going to play it every time. 888-957-9570. We'll keep taking your phone calls. Herm Edwards is going to join us in 10 minutes. We want to start this this one now, though, because Aqib Talib is an hour away. But listen to this, okay? And listen very closely. Aqib is talking to Kay Adams, but listen for all the different things that sort of unfold in what is a 28-second piece of sound, this conversation. He starts by trying to say that he thinks Brandon Ayuk is fantastic, but listen to everything, and then we'll talk it out.
Ayuk is emerging. I think he's probably my top three receivers right now. If you get him with a real quarterback, he can go crazy.
Brandon Ayuk is your top, as a top three receiver?
Man, he's just his. I don't really go off the stats. I go off the player and his body control, his routes, his hands, his speed. He can easily be a top receiver in the league. If you put him on a team and you make him the focal guy, oh, he'll go crazy.
Okay.
Wow.
Aqib Talib in an hour. What jumps out to you?
A number of things.
Yes, go ahead.
A lot of could-bes, but then the one that I took away, and I think I texted this as I was on my way into work, if you put him with a top quarterback, .. And he says that. And
is that the word he used? Did he say top quarterback?
Or a good quarterback.
No, I'm literally,
good or top?
I'm asking, here, let's play it again.
Ayuk is emerging. I think he's probably my top three receivers right now. If you get him with a real quarterback, he can go crazy.
Real quarterback. Okay.
You put him with a real quarterback. Is he not with a real quarterback?
Yeah, what does that mean? I mean, that's going to be question number one or two or whatever when Aqib comes on. What did you mean by that?
And I also think that...
And that's a great question.
Thank you, Buster. And I do think that it's real quarterback, but it's also real offense. And I think, and I'm not going to speak for Aqib, and he'll join us at 5 o'clock, but for me, it's not so much Brock Purdy as it is the offense, because they don't throw the ball. They throw it the 32nd most in football, so... if you get him with a real quarterback, and I'm hearing him say that, and I'm thinking about him thinking about it in terms of a real offense, an offense that goes three wide receivers, and an offense that really wants to let it fly and use Ayuk as much as Brandon Ayuk could be used.
Okay. A real quarterback,
right,
or a real offense. The 49ers scored the second most points in the league, in the NFL last year. So, like,
by running the ball mostly.
But that doesn't mean it's not a real offense.
But it doesn't mean that it's a real quarterback with a real passing attack.
Well, but I'd argue it does. Like, if the whole point is to score points, then the 49ers did that as well as anybody in the whole NFL. So are you arguing that Brandon's only a top three receiver if he plays on one of these sort of like wacky fantasy teams? In other words, like, you could do this. You could go be, even though, let's see, what did the Dolphins score last year? The Dolphins scored 496. The Niners scored 491. Okay. So what would Brandon be if he was on the Dolphins? I mean, home after round one, we could answer it that way.
He'd be their third receiver.
Well,
he'd be fighting for crumbs. And, you know,
I look
at CeeDee Lamb.
Like what are we getting at there when we do that? With the now, well, Brandon doesn't put up numbers because he's, you know, Kyle's offense.
Exactly. That's a fact.
Great offense.
Right, but as I mentioned yesterday,
offense.
75, 67, 65, and 60, that's the catches for the four primary receivers.
Right.
So they share the ball. There's no one dominant receiver. It's Brandon and George, it's Debo, and it's Christian.
But that's a strength. That's not a weakness.
It's a strength for the team, but it's a weakness for the individual who's out there trying to get the contract and be a top three receiver.
So are we arguing, therefore, is Aqib Talib arguing that we should, if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I should be more interested in playing fantasy football than football?
If fantasy football gives you the money you want, and if it gives you the happiness you want,
okay.
And according to TJ Houshmandzadeh, Brandon wants to play, and he wants to be paid, and he also wants to win.
Sure.
And so if you want to win, this is the best place to go out and be a winner, I think,
yeah,
in football.
Well, and not just win. I mean, TJ, and I know this, and he did say that. I mean, he would argue until the day is over that Brandon Ayuk wants to continue to play with both Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy.
Of course.
Brandon, I mean, TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you want to stay? Team is going to be good for years to come. Shanahan is one of the best coaches in the league. Why wouldn't he want to stay? But I want to get paid also. I don't want to take a discount. The game of football, it seems like you're going to play it forever. But you're not. I mean, these owners are making billions. I just want enough money to where I can take care of my family for generations to come. And his play has warranted that. But 100%, he would prefer to stay with the 49ers over anyone else.
The other thing I heard Aqib Talib say, though, is he starts out with his top three, and then it sort of switches to, like, a projection.
Right. He could be.
Like, right? When Kay questions him, wait a minute, Ayuk is top three? He sort of switches from he's top three to, well, mythically he could be top three if this and if that and if the other.
Ayuk is emerging. I think he's probably my top three receivers right now. If you get him with a real quarterback, he can go crazy. His
Brandon Ayuk is as a top three receiver?
Man, I don't really go off the stats. I go off the player and his body control, his routes, his hands, his speed. He can easily be a top receiver in the league. If you put him on a team and you make him the focal guy, oh, he'll go crazy.
So he turns
there
into he can be. Because I'm sitting here
and
listening.
He's not wrong.
Well, but he's talking body control and this, that. And I'm like, okay, Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Are you telling me that Brandon Ayuk is even potentially better?
No, but could
than
he
some
be
of these players?
Could he be CeeDee Lamb in Dallas? Could he be 130 catches in Dallas as a primary receiver?
Maybe.
I think so. And I think that's what Aqib is saying.
Okay.
He's saying, you know, in the right system with a real quarterback.
Plus, then you get a longer offseason, so that's good too.
That's great. And, you know, ultimately, if you're going into a contract year like CeeDee Lamb is, CeeDee Lamb's going to get a contract that's going to make Brandon Ayuk jealous.
Yeah, I'm sure. Same draft. Absolutely. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. So here we go. Aqib Talib is still an hour away, but BA's college coach Herm Edwards joins us next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!